Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is exciting to be back with you on this Wednesday.
Good morning.
Wait, who's that? Who's talking?
Know. Crazy, right? Richard's back. Woohoo!
Oh, welcome back, Richard.
I missed last Wednesday. Last Wednesday was not a wellness Wednesday for me.
No, it was an unwell Wednesday.
I think I have to kind of set the stage just a little bit.
Okay.
What we didn't really talk about last week, and it was, we were just kind of entering into a very, I'm going to say, critical medical state with Richard. And so when I was here last week, I really didn't know how dire it was. So I didn't really talk much about it, but we have had a very scary, crazy couple of weeks.
Really?
And we were literally hitting the, you know, he says circling the
drain. That's actually where I was, and I've never been there before, and it was
a weird
scary
experience.
But you're okay now.
I'm on the upside and
he's improving every day. This is actually
feeling really good about it, actually. So yeah,
this is actually the first morning that he's attempted to be off of oxygen, and so he's monitoring his oxygen levels and may have to use it a little later. You know, we're still watching it. So as a matter of fact, Richard, tell him a little about what happened.
Well, so let me say that this is just an example that there are other things out there than COVID.
Or negative COVID tests, so it's not COVID.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be this controversial thing. The point is, there are a lot of illnesses that plague people. Number one, be your own best medical advocate. Number two, understand that everyone will react a little bit differently to whatever that ails them, regardless of what the diagnosis is. So you have to be involved in your own best care. You have to discuss what's happening with your doctors or, you know, your professionals, and you have to advocate for yourself, and you have to be a proactive participant in your whatever your illness is.
Yeah, so I've never really needed any medical interventions. you know, if I'm sick, it's down for a couple, 3 days, whatever. This one just kind of hit me, and I was expecting it to get better and better, and it didn't. It got worse and worse, and I wasn't sure exactly why. And I have to tell you that giving thought to what our options were, you know, at first it's okay, so you're sick, your body will recover, just wait it out, drink plenty of fluids and do the rest of it. But there were points when I'm thinking, man, maybe I'm not going to get any better, and is this the end? You know, I actually had those thoughts about, you know, do you have any regrets? And, well, I haven't taken my wife to Hawaii, but that's not my regret, that's her regret.
Yeah, because he's been to Hawaii.
and I guess then just, you know, this is going to be the accumulation of what I've done, and you know, that'll be the end of it. So I've had all those thoughts, and those were things I've never had to deal with before. But
well, and the nurturing and the mother side of me says, okay, so we're starting this new business, right? So as a wife, I have this adult husband who is, yes, he's sick, but I'll do all the nurturing things for him. I'll have chicken soup ready, and I'll have, you know, his vitamins by the bed and water, and I'll leave and I'll check on him during the day, and he'll do everything I ask him to do. Like, you know, if he was my child, I know that he wouldn't listen to me, and I'd probably have taken a couple of days off, but I didn't. And I'd go to work and I'd call him throughout the day and say, have you been drinking water? Oh, yes. Why did he lie and say yes? Because he didn't want to hear from me nagging at him when he didn't.
You lied?
I don't remember any of these conversations.
you were out of it, huh?
Yeah. You know, she would call and I would take the call just as I'm taking a nap. She'd wake me up. So it felt like I was in the hospital.
That's just like the hospital, actually. Yeah. Every time you actually start to get a little rest, they interrupt you.
Right. And I was drinking. I wasn't drinking as much as I probably should. I wasn't actively doing that. And I didn't know really what was going on. But I did know that I was breathing hard, you know, and my mouth was always dry and you know, it was quite surprising.
In fairness, we don't have clarity of thought and mind when we're ill.
Yeah.
You know, he was losing track of time as he's sleeping. When I say, did you, you know, drink the water I put next to your bed? And he'd say, yes. I'd get home and there, you know, it'd be half a glass. And I'd say, did you refill this throughout the day? And he'd say, yes, no. Answer, he did not.
But I can tell you there's really nothing on television worth watching.
I knew that already.
Yeah. So the experiences were a little different. At the point that, you know, I'm realizing, man, this is uncomfortable, I feel very blessed and lucky that being in the industry we're in, I have doctor's access. Because if, you know, analyzing that, saying, okay, so let's say that I was feeling sick and I called my doctor, and the doctor says, okay, well, let's set an appointment for 3 weeks from now.
Right.
What would that have done for me? And you can't talk to a doctor. You just be setting those appointments. And so,
to be honest with you, checking his vitals 3 weeks, he would have been dead, literally. Yeah. That's an important part. Do most people know how to check their vitals, or do they have the equipment to check their vitals? Do we take for granted that if the doctor thought that I really needed to, that he'd rush me in? No, you have to advocate for yourself. Honestly, when I came home and finally checked his vitals, I'll admit I should have far sooner. I was very, very concerned. His oxygen levels were very, very low. Now, in my defense, he never had more than, a 99, a low-grade fever, maybe 100, barely. But it was just very, very low grade. So it didn't seem like he had something that really needed to be addressed quickly.
I had a hard time breathing, so I didn't want to cough, because coughing just gets you into that coughing jag where you can't get any air. And so I had, finally gotten to that point where you could kind of manage that. You'd feel that tickle in your lungs and you just breathe a little less, right?
I don't know
if you've ever been there, but that was my way of coping. It was, okay, so I just don't want to end up, on this coughing jag that keeps me up for, half an hour. So I'm just going to make sure that I don't cough, which means my lungs are actually filling up with mucus and they're not processing air. And so it's, this compounding.
And he's not drinking, so the mucus is becoming thicker.
Right. And so finally, Kaylee did talk to our doctors and, made that call. And we're lucky we get, we get that that connection. However, and I think this is an important point, these are the things we deal with all the time. When somebody calls us because they're, having a problem and they're thinking that maybe hospice or palliative care are appropriate, we can respond immediately. We send medical personnel out. We can do that within 24 hours. We can do it immediately if that's necessary. So that kind of response made a big difference. Our doctors, when my wife told him what was going on, one of our doctors said, well, he's dying. We need to do something. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you oxygen. We're going to get you on some antibiotics, because even though it's viral, you have been, depleted, and your body is, susceptible to anything else that happens. And you probably already have other infections now that aren't viral. So we're going to get you on antibiotics, and you're going to be using nebulizers and colloidal silver and trying to get this healed up and going through those things. And all of that has good foundation. It's just a matter of making sure that, you have good information on that. And so we started that, and almost immediately I felt better, but I'm still not through the woods. I think you can hear the tightness in my lungs a little bit when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's so much more effective now, and I as soon as that started, I was thinking, okay, this is good. I'm better. But then when I would get up and try and do things to get back to work, because, you need to get it done, it was still exhausting. It was still overwhelming.
And his oxygen levels would drop even with oxygen. So he needed more rest. It was just kind of a crazy, crazy, scary time.
Yeah, but my concerns were that, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and how do you fix this? And I got a chance to think of, the situation that a lot of people are in. That, yes, they're at this point where they don't know that there's an intervention available. And I was lucky that because of the way we work, and when our medical team gets involved, and they don't get involved in every cold or rash, but in this case they did, they could immediately respond. We could get everything taken care of at the home. I was concerned about going into the hospital. You hear stories, people going in and not coming out, and I didn't want to not come out, let me say that. But if I was going to pass away, I certainly didn't want to do that in the hospital.
Well, and the doctor, as he explained, he said, if you run to the emergency room, you're going to be there 2 or 3 hours, and mm-hmm. you're going to be exposed to other infections, bacterias, and other people, possibly. Again, He had tested negative for COVID, but there's a lot of people in the hospital and in the waiting room with COVID.
Right.
It was just a much safer environment to stay in your home and to bring everything there. Plus, I wasn't sure I could get him there. He's 6'4 and over, 250 pounds. I honestly didn't know how I was going to get him there other than an ambulance ride. And that just was not the cycle I wanted to end up on. So for me, I looked at this whole experience and I thought, oh my gosh, my husband, 58 years old, is on, technically on our hospice and palliative care program. We are treating him in his home as though we have no idea if he's going to survive this, if he's, how long he'll be here. So it was checking things off of the bucket list and giving him the best quality of life that we could. And we're happy to say today that he's on the uphill of the mountain, upside of the mountain, climbing up and doing better. But it really was enlightening for us. And the reason why we wanted to talk to everybody today about this is it doesn't matter what your illness is. Everybody responds and has slightly different symptoms and slightly different reactions to medications and to the interventions that are being offered and received. Some will survive and some won't. But it's wonderful to be able to have the immediate access. You're not waiting 3 weeks. You're not going to a hospital. So we want people to know to feel free to call our office. We will help walk you through it. And we do have doctors available immediately that can help and advise and let you know where you are. And if you do need to go to the emergency room, we will send you to the emergency room. But sometimes it's just nice to know you have somewhere to call when you're panicked, when you're concerned about somebody you love isn't thriving, isn't doing well, and you don't know where to turn. Give our office a call.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's if there's a critical issue, I can't think of a better number to call than 435-477-6999, because we'll send people out, qualified medical personnel. We'll have great doctors who have experience with all this stuff. And that's really the key. I mean, every general physician may not have as much end of life or, geriatric
senior
or
experience,
senior care,
right,
experience. And our doctors do. They've got, years and years and years of experience dealing with this. And so it's really important. The next phase of this evolution and understanding for me, when you're sick, the recommendation is bed rest and wait it out. But the truth is you need to be more proactive than that. I understand what my goals are. My goals are to clear out my lungs, right? I've still got mucus in my lungs. And so I'm taking medications for it. I'm actually actively taking medications. And when I can, I'm coughing that stuff up and getting rid of it.
That's a good point. Point that out. A lot of people, this was, one of the things that we all learn. And in the back of your mind, it makes sense. But have we ever really thought about it? So what is mucus building up in our lungs? Our bodies are incredible, and they want to be healthy. Absolutely miraculous. So mucus is going through your system, gathering the bacteria and the viral infections and things, and it's trying to do its best to contain that and move it out. So when it's in your lungs, we don't want it to sit there. But when you're coughing it up, you're supposed to spit that out. Yeah. Do you realize that? Because if you swallow it, yes, you'll digest it, but you're just keeping that bacteria or those viruses in your intestines, and they are actively growing.
Right. You're just processing it. So if we can get it out of our system, better.
Yeah, the faster you can get it out, the better. So spit that out. Carry a napkin with you and constantly spit that mucus out.
But I didn't have a whole lot of lung surface that was actively taking in oxygen, because all of those little air sacs are full of mucus because I was sick, right? And so my body's overproducing mucus trying to solve that. And so the goal is to get rid of that. Now, I imagine that if I would just sit around and wait for a couple, 3 weeks, my body will ultimately process that out. But if I'm actively engaged, and that means more than just laying in bed, because, everybody says bed rest, but how much bed rest actually works, and when should we do in other things? Because if we are active And that's important, you know, just get up and walk around a little bit.
Minimally
a few times.
Active,
yeah.
Right?
Right. You don't have to be running marathons, but it helps our bodies to process when our bodies are moving. That's true for our bowels. That's true for our lungs. And so to...
Less back aches, less muscle aches.
Right. So you get up and you walk around and you do some things and you try some breathing exercises, you know, force yourself. I force myself to cough, you know, to get into those coughing jags at this point. Because I know that that's what I have to do that. You want to break up that mucus a little bit, so using a nebulizer to get more moisture in to help thin that mucus out makes it easier to cough out. And this is probably getting a little too too clinical and gross for some people, but it's what I've come to realize is that we are actively trying everything we can to contribute to improvement instead of just saying, well, my body's going to figure that out on its own. And so if you at this point are, you know, have a little congestion in your lungs, you should try and take medications to break that up. And, you know, guafenicin, which is an expectorant, you'll find that. They call it mucus relief, but they then mix it with other things that also reduce your coughing. That may not be what you want to do. You know, so it's being actively engaged in your own medical care. It's realizing that you should have goals and do whatever it takes to accomplish those goals. And again, with the input from doctors that really care and have an interest, you can get more than simply, yeah, well, take this prescription and go home and get some bed rest. So it's, you know, getting up and getting around and doing those activities and eating things and drinking warm fluids, trying to get more moisture into your lungs. To help break that up so that you can get it out of your lungs.
So I think the important takeaway from this conversation today is really understanding that it doesn't matter what your illness is. You and only you, and your loved one, by the way, because they see you every day and they know you, your caregiver, you're the only ones that really know and have instincts of what's happening, what your symptoms are, and what's happening in your body. You have to share that with your doctors. It's especially important with seniors. I think many of our seniors were raised kind of in a culture that the doctors are the medical professionals. We just lay everything at their feet and they'll fix us. But you have to be actively engaged in what that means and give them the information and resources necessary to provide you information that can help you. And remember, some bodies aren't going to heal. They're going to get to a point that they will no longer heal. So then it's bringing you the most comfort that you can have and the best quality of life. And just remember that if you are not actively engaged in your own care, you're limiting yourself. You're missing out on wonderful opportunities to either improve medically or to enjoy what you have left in your life. And so you really have to wrap your head around those decisions. And we have many experiences and different personalities that we've dealt with. And some, you know, have been absolutely told your illness is terminal. And still, it's very difficult, and I understand why. And Richard just personally experienced this. It's difficult to understand or wrap your head around what that means. But sticking your head in the sand isn't going to change it. So you're better off pulling your head out of the sand and living. Let's live. Let's live the best life we can live for as long as we can live and make it a great life.
Right, because that's the experience. Are we just going to say, okay, well, then I guess I'm going to avoid thinking about it and then just have it blindside us? Or am I going to say, okay, well, there's nothing I can do to change the fact that I may have a terminal illness, but there are things that I can do to change my life and make my life, you know, the joy that it should be.
And my family's life.
So we should always be looking for joy in everything. I mean, yeah, it's hard to be joyful when you're having a hard time breathing and
you just don't feel good.
Just don't feel good, but that's a short-term issue. Really, those feelings of feeling sickly should be short-term. We should come up with ways to solve that, and we can. Within hospice and palliative care, there are ways to address those issues so that we can be at our best For the rest of our life, however long that
is. And we spent a lot of time thinking, talking about this. So let's talk about some things that can bring you better qualities. I mean, just consider that, yes, we absolutely have the medical professionals in place, doctors, nurses, CNAs, physical therapists, massage therapists, what have you, to bring you all of your clinical needs to be cared for. But there are other therapies when you have life-limiting illnesses that will bring you absolute comfort and joy to, so that you really are not thinking about the gravity of your illness, but really thinking about those things that bring you joy. And it even goes beyond therapies. It might really be, in this time of year, spending time with our families. Isn't that important? Won't that bring joy to our lives? And there is statistical evidence that when you reduce your stress and you're doing things that bring you joy, your life expectancy increases. So it's good. It's healthy. It's healthy to find joy in our everyday experiences.
Well, this is the holiday season, and this has an effect on people. We would like it to have a positive effect on everybody, but if it's having a negative effect on you, if this is a hard time, give us a call. You know, we'd love to reach out and help and see if there are things that we can do that will make this a more joyous time for anybody. If you know somebody who is struggling, because family's not close or because there's just this sense of it should be more joyful than it is. With the sun going down sooner, all of these things have an effect on us. And while we live in paradise, it's still winter in paradise.
Facing the holiday seasons can be very stressful and overwhelming for people and can kind of bring some dreary thoughts for people. As a matter of fact, if we can't help you, just remember there are so many resources available. As a matter of fact, you mentioned that. This last week, we have had, I personally have given bereavement group information to more than 15 people that have called into our office. So if you are struggling with maybe a loss of a loved one, if you are struggling with your medical conditions, if you have any needs, this is also the open season for changing in Medicare. It doesn't matter what our seniors are struggling with or concerned with. Feel free to give our office a call. We'd love to help you find those resources that are available to you. Utah really is a marvelous state to be in. We have so many resources available, not only for bereavement, but for medical needs, at whatever your medical needs are. We have a great volunteer system for compassionate care and services. Please open up to us, give our office a call, and let us help you find the resources that you're looking for to bring you a higher quality of life. This is a time of joy. Our senior years should be a time of joy.
And the holiday season should be a time for joy also. So as we approach this, coming into Thanksgiving just this next week, we're going to have to prepare for that.
Shopping!
Yeah, we've been a little distracted and time has just kind of come. So
what are you doing for the Thanksgiving next week?
Well, don't have all the kids coming in, but have a couple of my kids coming in.
Good.
From out of town. I'm
good.
At that age, you guys know what I'm talking about, where your kids are all over and
I know, that's
they'll
hard.
Come back.
I know.
So
my daughter just
turkey?
Got married, and I'm
I am definitely smoking
back.
Turkey.
Okay.
Definitely smoking turkey.
That's your best option, isn't it?
I'm going to do a tenderloin and a full bird.
Love it.
Oh, that'd
be awesome. Yeah.
Well, since you don't have all your family.
We'll see you there. What
I might have
dinner?
Extra, yeah. come on over.
No, I have 12 people in my house. We'll be cooking a turkey.
Yeah, we'll be doing turkey. and for us, I found that separating that bird into parts makes it a whole lot better. You take all the dark meat and put it together and wrap it in skin, and you can make it look like a turkey on the table.
Thanks for letting us share our story with you. We hope to hear from you. 435-477-6999. Have a great week.